Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for May 8, 2025. We'll get right into it here. First, we'll discuss the stock market. Obviously, this is a bottoming pattern. The question really is, will we have a retest? If we do have one, we could have it by next week. If we don't have it by next week, and then the market starts to get down again, say in June or July, something else is going on. So we'll sort of have to see how that goes. One other possibility here that is quite intriguing could very well be a test of 550 that holds. That would start to build an inverse head and shoulders for a move to new highs. That's another possibility. We've got a little bit of a right shoulder here, but frankly, not enough in terms of time to really be a classic right shoulder. So we'll have to see how that goes. But the bottom line is we're still seeing very good things in the trading of the spider, the Qs, and even small cap. And we think that after a retest, if we have it, the market will actually start to do very well into the summer. This has been our forecast, and like they say, it's my forecast, and I'm sticking with it. A couple of things to note. We've had some more questions on the breadth thrust indicator. I tend to not use that indicator. In fact, I don't really even keep it. And the reason for that is most people, so many other people keep it that you see it in the news, and I get emails when it happens. But let's, again, take a little bit longer a look at it. What that is saying is you have very high breadth momentum on the upside, and that is actually, whether or not you get a classic Zweig breadth thrust, whether you're using common stock only or composite, you know, breadth, it still means that things are very positive. You do get much better markets when breadth is in your favor, you know, broader market. You know, the classic joke here in the South is Pickett's charge. If the generals had just run out there, it would have had even less chance of success than it did. You need to see a lot of issues going in the same direction for a healthy market, and that's really what the breadth trust is saying is going on. We showed in the monthly that two things about breadth. The first is our Fred's breadth's oscillator on a daily basis has got a nice double bottom in an intermediate term bottoming area. That combined with the high levels of bearish sentiment on investors' intelligence suggests that we're going to have a good market for the next 3 months and really probably for the year. So anyone who has further questions on the breadth thrust specifically, please feel free to send me an email and I will address those questions with you in person. Don't want to spend any more time on it here. TLT, still a bottoming pattern, still trading a little tiny weeny bit weaker in some respects that we would like to see. But again, we have a daily stochastic sell recycle going on. Ideally, that will resolve itself in the next couple of weeks along with the weekly, and then we'll get that move into the 92-93 area we've been looking for on that. And then, of course, we have risk for higher rates. We've talked about that several times. We won't talk about it here right now. Let's take a quick look at GLD. GLD is all over the place and on gaps. I mentioned something in the weekly that drew a couple of questions, so I'm going to answer those here. The exchange, and it was my mention just sort of in passing of margin requirement changes. When the exchanges set margin in commodities and realize that commodity margins are different than Reg T stock margins that we're used to. In other words, when you buy something on margin on Reg T, normally you're making a 50% down payment on it and the other 50% is loaned to you on margin. And then you can stay on margin there until you get down to 20% margin. So in other words, you'll have a decline. And if it hits 20%, you'll have a margin call. In commodities, it's different. In commodities, margins are generally 3 to 5% of the value of the underlying contract, and margin calls can happen therefore much quicker. That means you get more leverage. And that's obviously, as we all know, a two-edged sword. When it's going up, it's really good. When it's going down, it's not so good. But the real point is, when you hit certain levels of volatility, one of the things that the commodity exchanges do to protect their members is they change, and in this case, would raise margin requirements. That means that people have to pony up a lot of money relatively quickly or sell. And usually there is a combination of the two with some selling. So one of the indications that the exchange is getting nervous about the volatility of the commodity and nervous about protecting their members is to raise margin requirements. And that very often happens at the end of big commodity bulls. It doesn't have to mean that you're going to see real problems, but it does mean that suddenly it's going to cost you a little bit more to buy a contract, in some cases 20 or 30% more to buy a contract. And if you've got a contract, a pyramid, what they call them in commodities, where you buy gold, say, and you generate enough profit to get enough margin in your account to add a contract, and you do, even if you're careful about that, in big bull moves, very often you end up under margin and you have to start to sell. Now, one of the things that we've always said is that stocks very rarely crash off the top. Normally, a crash in stocks occurs at the end of a down move. Crash of 87 being a perfect example of that. We fell from August to October and then collapsed in one day. We saw that in 2001 with the World Trade Center bombings. We were coming down and coming down. We'd gotten stabilized and then kerblammo. In commodities, because of the margin requirement deal and the fact that people are over-leveraged on the way up, commodities can often crash off the top because the margins are so low if they raise those margin requirements. So the bottom line is, if you see anything in the financial press about the COMEX raising margin requirements on gold, that could turn into a problem for gold futures and GLD as part of that. That's all the discussion on that we're going to have. Let's talk a little bit about international. Basically still trading well, but slowing up. We note that INDA, immediately after our nice article on it in the weekly, has started to come down. Because of this Pakistan bombing business, we would use this weakness in GLD to buy, in INDA to actually buy it, and realize also the daily stochastic is coming down. We will buy another recycle in the daily stochastic there as well. That market looks really good longer term. We're expecting it to really be kind of a sideways market this year, but given that, it's a sideways market, the top end of the range is still nicely higher than here on INDA. We're going to take a look. It's around 60, so you could see a move from 52 to 60 to 50 to 60, but you'd be getting it in a good place. And we note that the monthly stochastic is turning up on INDA as well. It's not a recycle. It's turning up a little bit in advance, but that very often happens in strong markets. Obviously we'll stay with what we have in Europe. I want to just take a quick look in China, but FXI is trading well, and more importantly, FXI is trading a little bit better than KWEB. So that means the old line Chinese stocks are doing well, and that tells me there's a really good chance of some sort of a trade deal coming there. We've also mentioned that Walmart is a good indication of that, and Walmart is still trading quite well. It got up to the 100 area resistance. It's pausing here, but it's extremely overbought and would be entitled to pull back. We could see a pullback on that to 95. We would buy it in that eventuality. Other than that, I have no real changes in our commentary. Obviously, one thing I will mention is in a successful retest, not everything goes down. We've said that before. And the hardest thing there is if the market does start to come down in a retest, you want to buy the stuff that's showing high relative strength and not coming down. Those have a very good chance of being the leaders. And so with that, though, I'm going to open the call to Jeff Garbaz and see if Jeff has anything pithy for us. And I hope he's not pissed off. Jeff.
Why would I be pissed off?
I said pissed off. It was pithy.
Oh,
but,
pithy. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Right.
I will be pithy.
Yes.
So what do you think? We're acting pretty good. It doesn't look like we're going back to new lows. So the question is, can we make new highs? That would, I think, shock a lot of people if we went back to the February highs in the next 2 months.
Jeff, I think we're going to do that in the next 2 months. The real question is, can we see some sort of a decline in the next two, three weeks? Obviously, we're overbought short term. I think we can. But, you know, Jeff, I'm looking at this as basically the forecast I had making a low in March that was sort of surprised by the tariff news. So we broke that low, but we're back above it. And I think we're basically still on schedule to make a really nice rally and quite possibly new highs in the June-July period.
Okay, and how do we like – small cap is shaping up pretty nicely in the last couple of weeks, and so is RSP beating SPY as well. So do we like the fact that we're getting more divergences away from SPY?
Yeah, basically, Jeff, what is happening here is some of the really quality large cap tech names are doing well, but if you look at things like Google and Apple, you know, they're examples of things that are falling off now, right? We're going to see, I think, more movement away from big cap tech leadership. Now, obviously, Jeff, the big cap techs aren't going to go down and the rest of the market go up, but they could become market performs. I'm looking at the charts of XLF and XLI and seeing them, those were our alternative overweights to a big tech overweight. And those are doing very, very well. I think you're going to see more leadership in those areas. The only thing, again, I've mentioned this before, I want to mention it again. One of the things about the last decline that kind of surprised me was how the big banks weakened relative to financials. Big banks may be a crowded trade. Jeff, I had lunch about 2 weeks ago with Chris Marinac, who is the bank analyst for, I believe it is Janney. But he's based here in Atlanta and used to be the bank analyst at Robinson Humphrey. Very good bank analyst. And he's bullish on the banks, but he does say this has become a very crowded trade versus when we were talking about it 6-7 months ago. So at the end of the summer rally, that's an area I'm going to watch, and we may end up moving our overweight in XLF back down to an equal weight just because, I hate to be where everyone else is.
Okay, so having said that, Scott Bessent is the Treasury Secretary who's been making comments the last couple of months, and he just made it like 2 days ago, where he said that the banks have too tight a regulation, and he would be for freeing that up. That being the case, there could be a lot of room on the upside of some of these big banks if they're allowed to ease some of the regulatory stuff that's been hammered on them. No?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things we're going to see, Jeff, I think we will see more clarity on that by June, July. Okay. If we don't, I'm going to be still just watching those banks. You know, Jeff, for a while there, you know, when we were recommending banks, people were sort of looking at me askance, which is a nicer way of saying they were telling me I was a dweeb. Now I see all these favorable articles on banks. I just want to be a little tiny bit cautious there. That's all. But for now, we hold them. We can buy them. I'm looking at JP Morgan. That's trading very well. Bank of America is trading decently. Citibank, who I think is not a great bank, is trading decently. And even more important, Wells Fargo is finally trading in line with the group. And that was sort of the ugly duckling for a while. So we have to like them. I just want to make sure that I stage right snagglepuss on them at the end of the summer rally if it seems warranted.
Yeah, Fred. So the comment was, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent Monday said that rapid growth of private credit signals the traditional banks are being too tightly constrained, reinforcing his push to ease regulatory limits on the financial system. So you got a guy who's the Treasury Secretary who is friends to the financials, and maybe that's why they continue to move higher.
Yeah, it sure could be. And I think he's turned out to be a pretty, so far at least, decent Treasury Secretary. Certainly, he's got a very, very strong resume.
Yeah, so. And I think he's keeping the president in check, so to speak. So
yeah.
he's doing a good job there. So what do we think of semis? Because semis yesterday, rumors came out that we're going to ease export controls because AI is just going everywhere, and that's the result. So the semis did pretty well. What do we think about semis? And if you could look at a couple of stocks that are more heavily shorted too, that are the bigger names that are doing well. So TSM is first one.
Sure, let's have a look at that. Jeff, that looks fine. And again, if it consolidates in here for a bit, it'll build a right shoulder for a strong advance.
Okay, next one is NVIDIA.
I like NVIDIA. I still think I'm going to get 140 on that in the next couple of months. And by the way, Jeff, it's real interesting. I'm getting an awful lot of calls on should I sell NVIDIA, which we never got before. I think that's a real plus. You know, the only concern I would have on this stock from a short-term technical perspective is, you know, if it does rally to 140 and stall, there's a chance that it's going to just not, that it's going to stay in the sideways pattern or even go down and make a new low. But, you know, that 140 area is really key, 135 to 140. And frankly, if we're trading it, again, not talking about investing in it, if we're trading it and we get it to 135 and we sell it, you know, I've done a lot worse for people, I'll tell you that.
So these stocks have really rallied off the April lows. Look at ASML.
Yeah, it's come off the April lows. It's still a little bit weaker than some of the other names are. You can certainly try it, but again, I would be sticking more with the stronger names. But yeah, it's coming off, and if that's heavily shorted, you might get a real nice trade out of it.
How about, so AMD, I mean, all these stocks exhibit the same thing, which is daily stochastics that are strong above 80, but the weeklies are like in the mid-50s, so they're moving up.
Yeah.
So in this type of market, do we like that type of pattern? It seems like we do, because the dailies could stay overbought, and then the weeklies would just continue to go.
Yeah. Jeff, that was one of the things about the chart book that was so interesting, was there was a lot of stocks that were either overbought or in slight sell mode on the daily, but weekly buy recycles that look like they have more to go. That's a big positive. That's something we like to see for a sustainable rally, and that's one of the reasons why we're looking for a rally into June, July, is those weekly stochastics. Now, with the overbought dailies, that does lend at least some credence to the idea of a retest. And if we can get some really lousy earnings reports over the next few days, we might get this market to come down a little bit, and we'll just have to see how that goes. So we would buy at the time.
Okay, so last question for you is, Bitcoin is almost back above 100K, and so I like a couple of these Bitcoin miners that are public, and want to see what you think about RIOT, Riot Blockchain, which is a crypto miner.
Jeff, it's right on support. If you want to try it, I would say, you know, be my guest. It certainly is, you know, it's trading well. I don't see a lot of risk here.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, a couple months out and, you know, use a stop at 750, but if it works, I mean, you could get somewhere between like a 33% and maybe a 50% move on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okie dokie. That is.
Pokey.
Oh, I got one last question for you. So, what do we think about India chart wise in the last couple of days, given all the stuff that's going on between them and in Pakistan? And it's not really about mainstream Pakistan. It's more about Kashmir, which is the area that's always of interest. And there's some terrorists there that have done some stuff in India. So, but these two countries do have nuclear weapons. And you know, so what are we seeing in the charts on those?
I think you know, we actually wrote about India in the midweek and suggested that it had made a really solid low, and it still looks like it has. I've used this weakness here to actually add to India positions. We might also get a daily recycle out of this, and that would be good too. You know the old expression, buy the bomb, right? No, I'm kidding. They don't have one. I'm trying to come up with a new old expression. But yeah, generally, you know, news like this, which we think is probably going to go away sooner rather than later, is an opportunity to add to positions here. And that does remain one of our favorite long-term international markets. It looks really, really strong.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Got it. Let's see if there's some questions from anybody out there.
Hey, Fred. Yogesh here.
Hey, Yogesh.
So I just wanted to make a little comment on the Indian market.
Oh, please, yeah.
So the dollar, if that dollar has started becoming a little stronger, it looks like it could become the a play for the next few months. Ultimately, it may go down, but in the short term, it could. So if the dollar gets attracted, money may be coming back to America. And if the dollar gets stronger, rupees will get weaker. And the Merrill Lynch, one of the analysts, they put the target for this year close to 87, 88, which it was there a while ago, but now. So my thinking is that the right now, the Indian market has become very popular and a lot of money is going there as a better alternative to other Asian countries, including China. So that is why it has become very popular. But the valuation-wise, it is not cheap at all, right? So would you consider it in a slow mode, or whenever there is an opportunity, just don't worry about it and put more money?
You know, I guess it looks like a trading range. And one of the things about the dollar, you can't really just look at the chart of the dollar. You have to look at FXY and FXE. And both of those currencies, the euro and the yen, or I should say the yen and the euro, have had gigantic declines, and it's time for them to go into basis for a while, even if those declines ultimately resume. And if the euro and the yen go into basis, so will the dollar. And that's what I think is going on here, is we've got basing pattern on FXY from, say, roughly 65 to 67 down to 60 and then back up. And on the euro, FXE, let me get a longer term chart up. You know, if that can stay in a range from, say, 105 to 110 on the upside to 95 on the downside, and even 105 to 95, which is sort of what I've been thinking, you're going to see the dollar base for a while. And to put this in perspective, everyone who's got access to a computer should look at, say, the monthly or quarterly FXE chart. But since 2014, FXE went from roughly 130 to 85, and FXY went from roughly 120 to 60, right? I mean, those are huge declines for a currency. And that's one reason why the dollar's been such a huge uptrend from, you know, 2008 until now. The way currencies tend to trend more than every other futures contract, they go for years. That's where John Henry made his money, by the way, that buy the, you know, Boston Red Sox and all the other cool stuff he has. Even if those trends are going to change or continue, we'll have a year or so to base under normal circumstances.
Right. So the that's okay. So the India, yeah, is still, you would not mind buying it?
No, yeah. I want to play India as a range too, for a while. But, you know, the thing about India to me, Yogesh, is when I look at the ultra long term charts on India, they just look huge, but they also look like they really need a rest. And I think that's right. What's happening. Seeing INDA come down to 48, the previous set of highs in 2022, and hold it means to me that 48 to 60 is probably going to be the next consolidation in that, but the trend is hugely up. If I were trying to make money quick in international, I would probably be looking for something like Germany, EWG,
right,
which is a multi-year breakout and trading quite well, or our EWL, which has been a favorite, or even, you know, some of the ARGT, like the Argentinian markets. But I would not be selling my India here. I would be trying to add to it.
There is no reason to sell. It's just adding more money.
Yeah, I'd add more money at this level and stop adding at 60.
I agree totally that the buy on the little weaknesses, that will be better. So the second question, you have a chart on a Palantir today, and in somewhere it shows that if something happens, it could go down to 70. Can you just explain?
Yeah, I mean, the concern that I had on Palantir coming into the earnings were that the earnings weren't going to be as strong as the stock seemed to be discounting. I mean, the fact is, you know, rallying back up to the old high well ahead of the stock market pretty much indicated to me that those earnings had better be pretty darn spiffy. And they were spiffy. And the analysts are all saying this could be a fiasco, this, that, and the other.
Right.
You know, if this goes into a 75 to 125 consolidation, Yogesh, I think you're going to need to have some pretty bad news on the company or the market. And that could happen. But honestly, Yogesh, I'm kind of hoping for a drop to 100 on Palantir so I can add to it. So far, it seems to be going in the wrong direction. I'm really not too worried about this unless it somehow would manage to go below 70, which is the 2000, you know, the low of the big consolidation in 2025 before it took off and hit 125, and also basically the low in the April decline. So that would be my benchmark to lighten investment positions, but I think you're going to need to see a huge amount of BS before that happens. Something could happen.
My question is that we do have a lot of client who has less than $30-$40 cost basis.
Yeah.
We took a little bit money off when it went over 120 a while ago, and I feel like that in case if there is an opportunity in the future, we can add into or we can sell today and then buy it back. Would you recommend anything like that or just
no.
hanging in there?
Yogesh, I got to hang in there. This stock has consistently surprised on the upside. And what's really interesting to me, and I talked to my old associate, Bob Robbins, about this, there are so many negative analysts on this. I saw a nice piece from Wedbush and saying, you know, God, it's a great company, but the stock is, I'm not talking about the company, I'm talking about the stock being overvalued. No one seems to be saying, you know, this can go to 200 to 400 without stopping. I'm not saying that either for that matter. But the fact is the really super strong high relative names are very often very overvalued.
Right. So just
Bob, yeah, you want to stick something in there?
Yeah. I would just say the most important observation in the last week is that Palantir tested its all-time high. And that is an indication that it is still probably the best leader in tech and in the S&P 500. And we need to stay with it because that indicates that it's probably going substantially to new all-time highs. I think it's very important to realize that the market value of the company is around $300 billion. The market value of NVIDIA is 10 times that. This stock has the potential to close that gap. And the price-earnings ratio is not what we need to be looking at. It is that they have the best AI software that is flexibly used for almost any company in any industry. That is a legal monopoly in effect, in my opinion. Okay.
And Bob, you made a really good point to me, Bob, which was that big article on Palantir in Barron's that I sent you basically mm-hmm. missed that point completely from what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Barron's did a huge piece on it last week, Yogesh, and missed what could be the most important point of the company.
All right. Oh, no, that's great. And the last question before I go, any change in the Apple or Google or Uber type of stock?
I am nervous about if Google can break, and I'm looking at GOGL, if that can break materially 150, I think it's a $120 to $130 stock and I wouldn't want to own it. And I've sold Apple out of the sector review already thinking it would underperform. Again, we've all got stock at very low prices. I've been recommending Apple on this call for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
It can underperform for a while and still be a decent stock longer term, and I'd look at it that way. I think there's going to be better performing names than Apple.
Okay, so right now don't need to rush to buy one.
No, I'm not going to buy it. If I can get Apple, you know, if they can stay in this 180 to 200 range for a while and sort of consolidate the fundamentals for a bit and then start to move up, I may be interested, but I'm not going to try. I'm not racing to buy this name.
No problem.
I think
and
they're better
Uber.
Names. Uber. I think I'm going to try to get it at 80, much below 80. You probably want to sell some. It looks like 72 to 73.
Okay. But right now, if you own it, it's okay to own it.
Yeah, I don't have any emergency panic routine on this one either.
Thank you very much, sir. And
got
Mark,
it.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Other questions?
Hey. Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Bad allergies. The nice thing about
yeah.
Atlanta, yeah, right?
Yeah, allergy season. Let's take a look at a couple of retail names. Lulu, we haven't looked at in a while. How's that looking here?
You know, I haven't really thought about that in a while, and it is perking up, but you've got a fair amount of resistance at 300. Let me look at the weekly chart on that, please. Let me just check and see. Yeah, it's tested multi-year support, essentially, by dropping to 250. This could easily be a fairly big range, and you're closer to the bottom end of it. So that's viable.
You think we can challenge that gap there?
Yeah.
300 or so? Okay.
Yeah.
How about Marriott, MAR?
It also tested, you know, July 2024 support. And if this goes into a consolidation, you've got a good shot at 300 on this. And you've got a weekly recycle.
Yeah, looks pretty good. So now the ETF, the XRT, how does that look broadly?
You know, that's a good question. It held support at 65, a lot of resistance at 75, but it's also a weekly recycle.
Okay, and then one biotech, I know they've been getting crushed here with all these nominations, but ARDX, is that
Apple,
looking like an, yeah,
Robert,
Apple,
Robert Ardlex. You're right on support. If it breaks, and again, it's cheap. If it breaks 360, I can see it at a dollar easy.
I think you're looking at the wrong one. It's ARD, like green.
ARV.
No, G, like green. ARGX.
G is in green. Apple, Robert, green, like green apples.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get this sooner or later. Ah, yeah. Now, this is interesting because you did double top and you've got a pretty big down week, but it's also in very short-term support. Let me take a quick look. And the weekly stochastic is up, so this may be okay. But, you know, I give this a little bit more time and give it a chance to recycle on the daily. This gap is sort of disconcerting.
Okay, and then last one on the crypto side, MicroStrategy, MSTR. I know we talked about it last week.
You know, I was looking at that, and it's still looking pretty good. It's broken out above 400. If it can stay above 400, you've probably got 470 on it, and it does look good. I think I said in the chart book, if it breaks out above 400, Bob's your uncle. And it has, so, and I love that English expression, by the way, Bob's your uncle. So I think it looks pretty decent. And again, you might want to be a little patient and see if it'll close on this breakout and then add it. But yeah, it looks decent.
No, we bought it on 380 there, right before the earnings. You know, we kind of took
right.
a chance. We're gonna hold it. And one last thing on the sentiment. I don't know what the investment AII again. 11th week in a row, we're at 51% bears. It's really amazing when this rally. I mean, the bears are just digging in, man. So anyway, I'll leave you.
Yeah,
there.
And we had, I believe, let me take a quick look because I didn't update the data, but I believe we had more bears than bulls on, there we go. We had more bears than bulls again. Bulls 32.1, bears 33.9. You know, in modern times, and I mean after the bear market low in 74, sentiment readings on investors intelligence percent bears like we're having now, I haven't gone back and done this, but I can't recall a time where it's resolved in bear market activity. I mean, I could go back and quantify that, but my bears indicator, like you saw in the monthly, is above 30. And, you know, in 74, it got to 75. 1974, it got to 75% bears. But boy, did everything go wrong in 1974. I can't think of a single thing that went right in 74, except Grand Funk Railroad had their first big, 2 million selling album.
Right.
And a lot of people would say that that wasn't right either, honestly, but there you are.
All right, that's all I got, man. I appreciate it.
Got it. Other questions? I hear someone coming. Other questions? Very well. Then this might end up being a shorter call unless that poor
Brad
got it. Yes, sir.
Brad, sorry. I'm quick today, but the stock that's been scoring phenomenal on Quant Screen's up big today. I know it was in the chart book, but APP, AppLovin.
Steve, the only it's not a favorite pattern for me, but the fact is, and I think you and I talked about this maybe even at dinner, it did hit the correct level at around 200 to be the retracement from the third angle of ascent, oddly enough. So yeah, it's probably bottom down there, and it's probably safe.
Anything you look for today? I'm assuming if it closes for the low of the day, that would make you a little concerned.
Yeah, that would make me concerned. A close on this below, let me just, because I'm looking at a monthly chart and it's giving me monthly high-low close. I would like to see it close ideally above 343, and it's a little bit below there now. But, Steve, if you want to try this, I think you certainly satisfied with that move down to 200. You got rid of the whole third angle of ascent problem. Now we can build another third angle of ascent, but that would put the stock in the 600. So I wouldn't particularly worry about it. I'd give this a try.
Okay. And then,
Tom Victor Tom X-ray. And for a biotech, this is hanging in there pretty well, and it's also pretty cheap. Now, you've got a daily sell recycle here, but the weekly is positive. This is another one of those. I would use weakness to add this to your models if you want it, if you want to. A good point would be... oopsie, come on, Frederick, hit the right button. Actually, right here.
One of my favorite parts about your calls is learning from other people on the call. For those out there interested, that they make the drug for my son's disease, and there hasn't been a new, it's in trials, and there hasn't been a new one approved since the early 1970s.
Wow.
Until recently, and there's been a ton of work by people in the community to try to get this approved, because the alternative isn't good. So
right.
I could be biased because I'm hopeful that it gets approved, but it's a pretty interesting story for people interested in biotech to read about. It's IgAN and FSGS. FSGS, the one my son has. So anyway.
Yeah. And Steve, there's one thing I'll just mention here, in case anybody doesn't know this. We don't want to publish this or talk about it too much, but I believe this is the only conference call out there that has really strong representatives from every major firm on it. The firms, and I can tell everybody this that doesn't know it, but probably does know it, the firms tend to try to restrict calls and things, and like Invesco ETF meetings, for example, to only members of the same firm. And there's various reasons for that. And I always argued about that when I was at the firm, at Merrill. I always said, this is stupid. I would be willing to bet that if a Morgan Stanley guy really wanted to call a Merrill Lynch manager, he could figure out what his phone number was and do it. Right. I mean, that's not too hard. I mean, Steve, I bet you could name the Merrill Lynch manager, the Morgan Stanley manager in Seattle fairly quickly. You wouldn't have to go and ask around, right? Yeah, I mean, you know. So that's a dumb rule, but I really, one of the things that has made me really enjoy this call is the fact that we do have very smart, good-sized producers from every firm on it, and that's a real treasure, and do not go back to your firm's compliance departments and tell them that, please.
Yeah. Let's see, the other one's BMRN.
Oh, BioMarin.
Yeah.
I have lost huge amounts of money trading this stock.
So have I.
Yeah, I don't know
why. Maybe it's
why.
Your fault.
No, it's your fault. I talk to you, and you get me all interested in buying it, I guess. Steve, it's okay. I got a terrible feeling this is going to go back to 57, 56. I give it a chance. There's a little gap down there. And the way these are acting, I'm not optimistic. I don't think I'd buy this here. Let me check one other thing. When you get your daily stochastic recycle, which could occur now or in that 56, 57 area, you can try it, but I wouldn't rush that.
That's another one. I find the quant curves don't work very well for biotech, so I don't tend to pay much attention to them.
Yeah.
BWXT, Boy Willie X-Ray Tom.
Willie X-Ray Tom. Need to get it above 110, and then you could see a nice move. You've got that little bit of a gap, but you've also got a resistance that just poked itself above and then gapped down. So I would say above 110, you can buy it and look for 117.
Okay. Last one, TKO.
Okay. Right at resistance and starting to fail, so and overbought. So I don't think I would. I don't think I would do that one. Although it still is a weekly stochastic buy, so it could do more. But this is the riskiest of all of them, except for that one biotech. BioMarin that I managed to, you know. Like silver, I keep thinking I'm a werewolf. Every time I try to buy silver futures, it stabs me.
All right. Thanks as always, my friend. Have a great
day.
We'll
talk, Steve. You have a good day, man.
Hey, Fred.
Hey there.
Couple. AUR.
AUR. You've got a very slight daily sell in a daily pattern that is inconclusive. You do have a weekly stochastic buy such that if this can get above 850, you're probably going to get it back to 11. I would give this one a chance here and buy it.
Okay.
But it's a little risky.
Tango. Okay, appreciate that. Tango Echo Mary.
Tango Echo Mary. Tempus. Another one that's sort of inconclusive. I'm looking at the weekly chart, and it's also a stochastic buy. So let me see one other thing here, Scott. But you've probably got 68 to 70 on this. There's no reason not to try it.
Okay. All right. And then an ETF in defense, Sam, Harry, Larry, David.
I just saw this for the first time in the chart book. I don't know whether you put it in. Someone put it in, and it is a strong chart. I have no knowledge of what's in this or anything about it, but it's certainly showing relative strength, and you can buy it. And I'm not on defense about that. You jump on this one. Sorry.
Robert, Nancy, Mark, Boy, Yellow, RNMBY, Rhino Metal.
Ah, okay. And that actually comes up.
German defense.
Right. Yeah, this looks very strong. No reason not to buy it. I'm going to try one little trick, though, here. There's a trick on stock charts to make sure you're not getting total return. And some of these European ones do have that, but it's still the same chart even when you eliminate the total return function.
Okay.
One of the problems,
Echo,
by the way, I'm going to just throw real quick for everybody. Make sure when you're buying European names that you check with your desk's on the actual yield. Very often these do not pay quarterly dividends, which skews the dividend percentage that you're seeing on the screen horribly. So check right on that, because you can really think you're buying an 8% dividend that really is a 2% dividend. It can be that much. Anyway, Scott, your next one.
THLLY.
E-H.
Same space.
P-H?
Tom Harry Liquor Yellow.
Ah, ha, 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 Tom. Tom Harry Liquor. Yes, more liquor. Again, high-level consolidation, nothing really terribly wrong with it. But if it fails here, it's going to go to 52, 53, which is where I would try to buy it.
Okay.
But basically, it's a good relative strength name.
All right. And Symbotic, S-Y-M.
S-Y-M. Nice double bottom. Add a little bit of resistance at 26 to 30, but nothing here saying don't buy me if you like it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Cool. Good to hear your voice. Trying to get down to Florida, and if I do, we'll visit.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. Scott is the only client and friend that I run into on the street when I'm in Boca Raton. The hotel I stay at is apparently near your office. But I think you've driven by me twice now down there.
Yep. So. Flag you down. Yep.
Yeah. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's John.
John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to lunch here in a week or two.
Yes, sir.
You got some clients that are getting healthcare fatigue, just this thing not going anywhere. And I noticed in the chart book, XBI did not have a great outlook, and just wanted to get your overall thoughts. XLV doesn't look very, very good either on long-term
chart. It doesn't look terrible, but it looks like still consolidation. But we're right at the low end of it. But no, this is probably going to be an area that's difficult. I thought it had prepared itself after Robert Kennedy actually won the nomination. But since the decline, it's probably not so good.
Yeah. Do you think it's just because usually when you see big changes, like say 2000, when we had the tech basically just was not the leader for those few next 10 years. And then after 2008, financials were in the tank for 10 years. Do you think maybe with the damage that was done to the reputation from the COVID stuff, it's kind of killed these stocks kind of the same? They're just going to kind of be dead weight for a while.
Yes and no. I will tell you this. I am nervous about some of them, like Pfizer, for example, being sued. Right?
Yeah.
So there's certain ones I wouldn't buy. There's certain other ones that build more, shall we say, sort of the real basic generic things that are making, things like Merck that are making consumer-oriented drugs and products. Those will probably get hit a little bit, but are probably still very good deals. And something like that, I would buy that's out of favor. But something with liability for the vaccines like Pfizer, I mean, I'm sitting there looking at a yield of 7.53% and thinking that something is not going to last here.
That's just a corporate bond at that point.
Yeah.
So I think you answered my question. I think I'm going to slash my percentage in half in healthcare and just put it back into the general market.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And don't overlook industrials going into the summer. And I'll tell you one thing I'm doing personally, which may be a mistake, which is why I'm mentioning it. I'm fairly strong on a rally into June, July. And I'm thinking I've got a list of things of mine that I want to sell in June or July. And very often, If you think you should sell it, you should kind of sell it now,
mm-hmm.
right? And not wait for June, July and the market to be up. It may not go with the market.
Like I said, if you're going to break up with it, go ahead and bite the bullet then and get it over with.
And right. And, you know, Pfizer has got a yield of 7.5 and XLV has a yield of 1.74. That's another indication that you're taking a little bit more risk with Pfizer than you think.
All right. Appreciate it, Fred. Thanks, man. Good luck with the allergies.
Got it.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, and we'll see you on the 19th.
Yep.
Good. Other questions? Very well. We'll say going once, going twice. Very well. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for May 8th, 2025. Everybody have a good and hopefully allergy-free weekend.